Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. That's right. It is the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's a show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors. But we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. And this week, we check in with Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. And he has been banned from Russia. That's right. Russia has banned from entry Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, along with some other Canadians. But as we go to tape today, The United States government has yet to ban Canadian prime dictator Justin Trudeau, making it hard once again to divine the superiority of the American government over that of a dictatorship of privileged oligarchs. Not to put too fine a point on it, but there you go. Now, we go from there. Welcome aboard, everybody. It's good to have you here, Will. But we've got to jump right into it because there's a lot this week that I want to get to, including Psalm 39. I know I had talked about it before. Today we're going to read Psalm 39 into the record, you know, like they do up at the Congress and the legislator, because they all think that they basically think that they are the finger of God etching divine instructions onto the stone tablets. There, I want to read this into the record up there at the legislature. Forgive my disdain, but my eldest daughter, the bird whisperer, sat for another 12 hours, subject to the futility of Senate hearings in the Colorado legislature for that same a piece of legislation that she testified against in the House there in Colorado. She testified against in the Senate this past week. And so we have a particularly high level of disdain and discomfort for the idea of legislation in general. But we noticed that the lawmakers tend to want to read things into the record as if that matters. Like, I'm going to read Psalm 39 into the record here on the Weekly Worldview just so that I know that I did it. But it's already been written into the record. And so we will do that. But I want to get first, I read a column either last week or the week before from Wayne Allen Root, who I like from time to time. And then other times, and I had forgotten this, because I just don't read syndicated columnists all that much anymore. I don't listen to syndicated talk shows at all anymore. I found I cannot do it. I've tried. But since somewhere in the midst of the second or third round of lockdowns, I lost the ability to listen to talk radio. You know, it might have been with the death of Bob Enyart. That might have been it, now that I think it through. It might have been after Bob died. I since then, I have not been able to listen to syndicated talk radio. The two bozos who took over for Limbaugh. The other guy, the black guy who used to be with the Secret Service, who looks like a black guy, but it turns out he's Italian. And I thought maybe he was Cuban or Puerto Rican or something. I can't remember his name. And the others that I've listened to for years and was somewhat entertained by, I've lost the ability to listen to them, and it's for a lot of the same reasons that I have a hard time reading syndicated columnists like Wayne Allen Root anymore. I went to WorldNet Daily, as I'm oft wont to do, to check the news of the week, and here's a column from Wayne Allen Root, who I like. It says, "Did one rigged election destroy America forever?" One rigged election. And Wayne Allen starts out with a well-worn saw from conservative syndicated columnist, folks, we're in a world of trouble. That's a great way to open a conservative column because it's obviously true. Hard to debate, and it focuses the mind of the reader on the subject at hand. And Wayne Allen draws our attention this week, well, this past week, I suppose. This was published, well, we'll just say in the month of March, that's all. And we're still in the month of March, so we'll just call it now. Folks, we're in a world of trouble, says Wayne Allen. Our borders are wide open. Inflation is raging. We've got the worst employee shortage in history. And so these things are all true. And then Wayne Allen says, now think of America when Trump was in charge. We had the greatest, most prosperous economy in history. The greatest increase in middle class incomes ever. The lowest unemployment ever. And on top of the lowest unemployment ever, the lowest black and Latino unemployment ever. Did I say ever? I want to remind you it was ever. Inflation and interest rates were at historic lows. We had a perfect supply chain with everything. Everything you could want, you could get at any time. And there was peace all over the world. Peace, I tell you. Says Wayne Allen, hearkening back to the halcyon days of the Trump administration when everything was wonderful. Now, I'm starting to sound like that other syndicated host. I wasn't even trying for that. Who's the guy? He's got like a Russian name, and he used to be in the government, too. He worked for Trump for 15 minutes, and now he does a show called America First. I can't remember his name, but those of you who listen, you probably remember his name, and it may come to me later. I wasn't trying to sound like him. It's just that Wayne Allen Root was going, he's almost in a state of elevated, heightened consciousness, just remembering the Trump era. And the hairs on the back of his neck stand up, right? And he gets that shiver that starts right at the top of your head and runs right down through your little toe there, just thinking about Trump. And then Wayne Allen asks, what would you give to have Trump back right now? Everything's at risk now, folks. America is a disaster now. Why? Well, obviously, it's because Donald Trump is no longer president. Made that clear, Wayne Allen. But here's what Wayne Allen goes on to say about why is America in a disaster right now. He says, because we might have allowed Democrats to rig an election. We might have allowed Democrats to rig an election, and that may have destroyed America forever. Now, the potential life or death problems we face are here. They're real because we may have allowed a rigged election, says Wayne Allen Root. So the first thing I want to note about Wayne Allen, aside from his almost giddy 13-year-old teenage girl at a Beatles concert reaction to Donald Trump, he's almost screeching and shivering and tears running down his eyes, hoping to just touch a corner of one of the handkerchiefs that might have fallen from Trump's. But aside from that, Wayne Allen Root is afraid to say outright that the Democrats stole the election. Instead, he says it's because we might have allowed Democrats to rig an election. We may have allowed a rigged election. Notice that? I noticed that. He's afraid. He's scared. He's scared to make an unequivocal statement about what obviously happened in 2020, which was the Democrats rigged the election. With the drop boxes and the mail-in votings and the rest of all of that, it was obvious to anyone actually paying attention that the left stole the election in broad daylight in front of, well, actually not in broad daylight. It was the middle of the night most. For the most part, it was after dark with the windows taped up and all of that. That's part of what made it so obvious.
I forgot.
Yeah. So it was obvious to those of us who, I don't know. I maybe some of us aren't scared of being canceled because it doesn't matter if they cancel me. I suppose if they canceled my professional career, then maybe I would have a different attitude. Maybe I would be scared. I don't know. But Wayne Allen is afraid of being canceled, so he won't say the election was stolen and we should look at ourselves in the mirror with shame for allowing it to happen. No, he says it might have happened because he's afraid. And I've noticed this about... maybe that's one of the reasons I can no longer listen to syndicated talk radio, is because everyone has taken this line that, look, we're willing to say that there were problems with the election, and the election looks like there may have been issues, but everyone has agreed that it shall not be spoken what actually happened, which is what actually happened. The election was stolen by leftist maniacs, sex pervert, Marxists. Hell-bent on destroying you and your children and your family. Forget the economy. That goes along with it. They want to destroy your kids. And for those of you who don't have any kids, they want to destroy your nieces and your nephews or, I don't know, your dogs and your cats, whatever you have. They want it. They want to destroy it. And they stole the election, and Wayne Allen Root's afraid to say it. But one thing he's not afraid to say is, boy, what we wouldn't give to have Donald Trump back now because of how good things were. He then goes on with how bad things are now. We're facing World War III. China's about to invade Taiwan. We're going to have a financial collapse. We can't get enough oil. We can't fill our gas tanks. The credit markets are shaking. The banking system's going to collapse, and we're going to lose our position with the dollar as the world's reserve currency. Be afraid. Now, all these things may or may not be true. I personally don't believe China will invade Taiwan. They don't have to. They'll take it over the way they took over Hong Kong and America and Canada and Europe. They'll just take over without having to fire a shot or invade. All those annoying things that that throwbacks like Russians do. The actual invasion, the bombing, the siege. The Chinese are way beyond all that. The financial collapse, yes, that could happen. Can we not get enough oil? Possibly we can't get enough oil because, the leftist ecology cult. I shouldn't say ecology. There's nothing wrong with ecology. Ecology is just a thing that is. But, the earth-first, eco-terrorist, eco-Marxist front that has taken the United States government, occupied the White House, infiltrated the halls of Congress, in every state house, in every governor's mansion, there's a Chinese Marxist or eco-terrorist, or a Soros guy on the payroll of one of those four heads of the beast, is in every place. So that we might not be able to get enough oil. Filling your gas tank is definitely an eye-opener right now. The credit mark, the banking system could collapse. That's always been true. The dollar could lose its position as the world reserve currency. And I've been listening to a few conservative, so-called conservative talkers, concerned that once we lose our place as the world's reserve currency, we're suddenly not going to be so rich. Things are not going to be rolling along so good if we lose our position as the world's reserve currency. And I'm thinking to myself, well, maybe that's what we need. Maybe that's what America deserves, is to be knocked off that number one position with the world's reserve currency. So maybe our government wouldn't be able to spend money and print money like a bunch of drunken sailors. Drunken sailors. A bunch of drunken counterfeiting sailors. Sailors never counterfeited. That's the one thing drunken sailors could never do, was print their money to continue drinking. And eventually that puts an end to the binge. So instead of freaking out about America losing its position with the global reserve currency, maybe we should be pointing out that maybe it's about time. Anyway, Wayne Allen Root goes on with his, did one rigged election destroy America forever? What would you give to have Trump back now? Column. Wayne Allen says, your children's future could be gone forever, just like that. All because we allowed what may have been a rigged election. What may have been? Okay. Thanks, Wayne Allen. And then here's why our side is losing, folks. Our side is losing, and I mean our side, meaning the good guys. The God-fearing, patriotic American people who built this country, who care about our kids, who care even about other people's kids. We actually care about other people's kids. Anyway, this is why we're losing. Because people like Wayne Allen Root are considered to be someone to be looked up to, along with other so-called conservative talk show hosts and columnists. And Wayne Allen ends his column instead of with an admonition to America that you've become so wicked and evil and vile and corrupt that all these bad things are about to happen to you. Turn around, repent, stop it. No, he doesn't say that. He says, who are you going to vote for in November? If you vote Democrat, you're officially suicidal. Huh? And then the very last line of his column, P.S., let's go Brandon. So he thinks let's go Brandon is cute. This is why we're losing. Our side is utterly corrupted and blind to our own level of corruption, to the point where we think a vulgarity, a vulgar profanity uttered by lowlifes at a NASCAR race, right? Well, now it's uttered everywhere. But we think that that is an appropriate response to the impending collapse of America. And I'm telling you, that is not the appropriate response to the impending collapse of America. Let me direct your attention to the previous admonition. It's the Weekly Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. Welcome back. Thank you very much, boys. How great were things under Donald Trump? They were so fantastic and fabulous. I just remember Trump with he had the rainbow flag. It said like fags for Trump or something like that. He held it up and I thought this is the high water mark right here of, yeah. That's what I thought. Anyway, I remember that Dr. Richard Levine. You guys remember Dr. Richard Levine? Let me remind you, I go to an American Thinker column from the Decline and Fall file, where Monica Showalter writes, who's the best woman in America? Well, USA Today says it's Dr. Richard Levine. That's right. Woman of the Year. Uh-huh. That's right. And now, not only did USA pick Dr. Richard Levine as Woman of the Year, he was among several Women of the Year because to pick one woman would be far too equivocal for the modern mindset. We can't have a Woman of the Year. My gosh, that seems awfully exclusionary. Maybe we'll have several Women of the Year and one of them will be a man. That really includes everybody. I feel so good. Richard Levine, by the way, it dresses up as a woman and pretends to be, I think he's secretary of something now. In the federal administration, Richard Levine was dressing up like a woman and acting like he was the head of public health in the state of Pennsylvania during the Trump administration. In the halcyon days of the Trump administration, when men were allowed to dress like women and serve in state office, when things were so great under Trump. Folks, we were already forgetting our pronouns under Trump. If you maybe nobody remembers, I remember. I was actually paying attention. Yeah, the losing of the pronouns is probably a bigger thing than the lockdowns, actually. It's definitely a bigger thing than the coming collapse or uncollapse or whatever happens with the banking system and the credit markets and the global reserve currency. The losing of the pronouns, definitely bigger than any of that. Oh, by the way, so I got in my car and my phone, my car stereo picked up my phone via Bluetooth. And apparently my phone has been playing my set list from my podcast app. Apparently it's just playing all the time in the background. Did not know that. So anyway, for the first time in many months, years, it's been a long time, I actually heard a portion of this show because I subscribe to my own show to pump up my subscriber numbers, obviously. And so anyway, I heard, and what I didn't realize is that you people hear roosters all the time. You didn't know this. My extremely attractive audio engineer, by the way, can only sit through this show one time a week, and that's now. So we haven't listened to the actual product in years. And her, maybe never. She's usually not listening while we're recording. But anyway, I did not realize the roosters. So there's a constant, almost hypnotic, metronomic invasion of roosters. And for that, ladies and gentlemen, we want to apologize. We were not aware. So the roosters crowing do not come across our headphones here in the studio as clearly as they do for you poor people out there. So I just heard that rooster, and I just want to apologize for that. And I want you to know that we're working on that, but we're not working very hard on it, obviously. In fact, we're going to hope that that gets, when our biographies are written 1,000 years from now, that the rooster crowing will be a part of what made the show so wonderful. Now, where was I? I was with Rick Levine, the former head of the Pennsylvania, I forget exactly what he was with Pennsylvania, back during COVID when it first started. All I remember was, you had a guy dressing up like a girl, acting like he was in charge. Well, not acting like. He was in charge of locking down Pennsylvania. I remember that. And I remember that he was caught shuttling his elderly mother out of a nursing home just before everybody in the nursing home died. Or something close to that. So now, is it dawning on you who Richard Levine is? Because I refuse to use the name that Rick goes by now. I'm not going to do it. His name's Rick Levine. He's allegedly a medical doctor. That I don't know. I know that he spent his entire career in the government. I don't know that he ever saw a patient. Actually, I just don't know that. I would find it hard to believe. So anyway, Rick Levine's been named the Woman of the Year by USA Today. Let's see. The American thinker pulls from the USA Today article. Levine is a trained pediatrician. You. Trained? Okay, well, big deal. Did he ever practice? No. I don't know that he ever practiced. So, and that's a, by the way, that's a doctor for little kids.
I know, that's why I said don't.
That's kind of creepy. He shouldn't be, right? Became the nation's highest ranking openly transgendered official. Whoa, openly. Wait a second. Does that mean there's a bunch of closeted trannies in the government somewhere? And by the way, I don't think there's any other type of tranny than an open tranny because, I mean, once you go that far, it's not like you can be in the closet and dress up like a girl. I mean, is that even possible to be openly trans? Why? Just leave off the openly, okay? I think once you get to the transgender part, it's open.
Maybe like a D.
Snyder. D. Snyder from let's see, that was from the 1980s. The Twisted Sister. Yeah. I remember there was a radio interviewer who said, "I want to Well, I want to welcome Mr. D. Snyder from the Twisted Sister.
He's not actually.
He was not actually transgendered. Although that shouldn't have been allowed, probably. Back in the 80s, we should have said, hey, all of you people with the Boy George and the George Michael and even the D. Snyder with the eye makeup. Just cut that out.
Boy George was there.
Yeah, I know. None of that should have been allowed.
Yeah.
We should have known in the 80s that this was not going to end well. You know, there were certain Rubicons crossed in the 1980s that should not have been crossed. Crossed. That's a play on words. All right. So anyway, so now you end up with Rick Levine as the woman of the year. And it's, by the way, it's 40 years later now. 40 years. Wow. Okay. So from there, that's kind of depressing just to think that it's 40 years later, number one. That's kind of, but about 40 years, right? 40 years and you get what you deserve. For now, we move into the decline and fall file, where we bounce off of the Rick Levine story, which that came out of the decline and fall file too, where we have a report from England, the formerly Great Britain, where one of the ministers there in England, a minister named Annalise Dodds, the Minister for Women's Equalities, she appeared on the radio, along with Shadow Home Secretary Yvette Cooper, yes, they were interviewed both over the past 2 weeks. They were both interviewed over the past fortnight. Cooper, in an interview on the Times Radio, was asked about the definition of a woman. And Yvette, Secretary Yvette replied, "It is simply pointless to try to define a woman," unquote. Yes. And then Dodds, Annalise said the actual meaning of woman, the actual meaning depends on the context, you see, on the context, because there are many types of people who want to be defined as a woman, you see. So it all depends on the context. And so apparently, members of the British government, and by the way, these are the shadow ministers. If you don't understand the British parliamentary system, well, you'll probably live longer for it. But they have the government and then they have the shadow government, which means that if the current government were suddenly annihilated, let's say the ground opened up and sucked them all down into hell. Let's just say that happened for whatever reason. The shadow government would be there in order to take over. And so right now, labor rules, which are a bunch of leftist, communist, psychopathic, transgendered, homosexualist maniacs. And so we'd have to assume that the shadow government are the conservatives, although it could go either way over there in England. On many levels, goes both ways there. And so whoever these people are, they're in the government, they're high governing officials, and they say that we simply cannot define a woman any longer. Yeah. Author J.K. Rowling, who is a subject of Her Majesty, the Queen herself. J.K. Rowling is an author of, I forget what she wrote, but it was something that a lot of people bought, so she's somebody, I guess. J.K. Rowling says, quote, "Someone please send the shadow minister a dictionary and a backbone." Apparently, under our Labour government today, we women, by the way, it's Women's History Month. Did you know that? And I'm sorry. This was on International Women's Day, which is in the midst of Women's Month. And J.K. Rowling said, apparently, under the Labour government today, we will become We Who Must Not Be Named Day. Not International Women's Day, but We Who Must Not Be Named Day, says J.K. Rowling. And now people think J.K. Rowling is a conservative because she thinks there's a difference between men and women. Folks, that's way too low of a bar. I mean, come on. Stalin and Marx and Lenin all recognize the difference between a man and a woman. So that's not the bar for being a conservative, JK. Although we do appreciate that, don't get me wrong. And speaking of not being able to tell the difference, I just realized that I can no longer tell who's in charge of England. I don't know if it's Labour, I don't know if it's conservative, and I definitely can't define if it's masculine or feminine. That's right. It's the Weekly Worldview, and it's as hard to interpret the lyrics of that song as it is to tell what's going on with the modern Western governments in what was formerly known as First World Civilization, which, as far as we can tell, has descended into an androgynous nadir of mentally deranged self-harm. That's the future. I mean, Wayne Allen Root is worried about the future of your children ending right now altogether. No, it's just going to be a slow, embarrassing descent into an androgynous nadir of mentally deranged self-harm. It reminds me of the girl we saw at the Oriental grocery store. The Oriental grocery store. Is that racist?
It's okay.
It's all Japanese food, Korean food, Cambodian food.
It's mostly, yeah. Anyway.
Thai food. It's Oriental. That's what we call
Asian.
It. It's Asian. The Asian store. What's the Asian market?
No, I like Oriental.
And so there's these... I see a lot of young people like this, and it's not exclusively Asian, but it is... these types of people are significantly overrepresented in the Asian community, and it's what I call the living dead girl look.
Yeah, anime.
The living dead girl anime look. if there's a character in an anime that's dead, it looks like this. It has it has the faded, dingy blue green hair, right? Uh huh. Like it looks like the color of that you might see in a late model Subaru. Right, and they got the black fingernails, and they're wearing dirty laundry as if it's clothing. Yeah, and then they're walking around in public. Uh-huh, they're walking around in public, dressed like a living dead girl from an anime magazine. So you've got to wonder, what makes an otherwise attractive, intelligent, valuable human being dress up in a costume like that and go out in public? What has happened to that child? And this is probably a girl that I'm thinking of, the one I saw, a girl of maybe 20 years old, I would think, about 20.
I don't know.
What happened to you? What happened to her? Well, whatever it is, there's no recovering from that without divine intervention.
And then that because one particular
looks really
one
bad. Oh, and then she was wearing the mask. That's right.
The huge one.
The big mask.
It's covering the whole face.
A mask that only shows the eyelids. That's how secure. Not just under the chin and over the nose. If she wouldn't have had eyelash extensions on, she would have had nothing to keep the mask from enveloping her entire face. And I know we laugh, but something terrible has happened to that girl. Whatever we're doing as parents is not working. Not for that kid. Really sad. Now, where was I going with that? We're going to Disney. We're going to Disneyland from the Queering of America file. The sheriff in Polk County, Florida, has been running an operation that they run every year. It's an anti-grooming operation. They even have a name for it. The police put it on every year. It's called Operation March Sadness. That was not... No, it's not a laugh line. I apologize. Operation March Sadness, where the police, every year, they go out and they arrest hundreds and hundreds of sexual pervert... there's a name for them there. Predators. Predators. Who, especially child predators. And they nabbed... how many people who worked at Disney were arrested? Let's see here. At least 4 employees of Disney were busted in this sex trafficking operation run by the police. The announcement comes on... the announcement came out on March 9th, which was the day after the CEO at Disney loudly opposed Florida's new anti-grooming law, which we talked about last week. The law that says it's okay to molest fourth graders, but third grade is where we draw the line. Come on, we're conservatives. Mm-hmm. We're not going to allow you to groom four-year-olds. I'm sorry, four-year-olds. Third graders. Fourth graders, well, you know. Anyway, so the Disney CEO comes out in defense of grooming children, and 4 of his employees are arrested that week. Yet, for some reason, he hasn't been arrested. most of the people caught up in the dragnet. There are 108 arrests in the annual sex pervert roundup, I guess. Most of them are now facing charges of soliciting prostitutes, but there's also all kinds of other horrific, awful things that people tried to do to children that the cops caught them at. And once you do this, I just have a question for the district attorney and the arbiters of justice in general. Once you run this thing 1 year, 2 years, 3, at some point, don't you say, hey, wait a second. Obviously, we've got a problem here. We could do this every year. We need to stop this. How do we stop men from molesting women and children? Let's figure that out instead of turning it into an industry. And every year, we have the rattlesnake roundup. I'm sorry, cross out rattlesnake. We have the child rapist roundup that we do every year. And it turns into an industry. And now you've got people whose living and their retirement now suddenly depends upon the molestation of women and children. Does anybody not recognize what's happening here? It's not good that a law enforcement bureaucracy should exist that depends upon crime. That shouldn't happen. But it has happened. And it continues to happen. Listen to this. This bill, by the way, that we talked about last week that says we want to draw the line on grooming children. We have to draw the line somewhere. The new Florida bill makes it easier for authorities to act against grooming behavior in which children are inappropriately sexualized. It's been named the Don't Say Gay Bill. Just so everyone in the audience knows exactly what I'm talking about. Because I have a tendency to mock these things to the point where you might not know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Don't Say Gay Bill, okay, that you've heard about on Sean Hannity and... Well, just insert any right-wing talk show host. They've all talked about this, and they've all said the exact same thing, which is why I can no longer listen. Anyway, there was a poll. The bill, they say, enjoys wide support from the people on both sides of the political aisle. That's right, there was a poll run. On should we stop the grooming of children was basically the question. I mean, it could be interpreted that way. Should there be some limits on the sexual grooming of children? And 60% of Americans say there should be. 60%? We're talking about sex with children? 60% of Americans? So that means 40% of the people? Is that what that means? I mean, I don't want to be too dire or paint too dark of a picture of what America is like today. But when you put a question in front of the American people saying, should there be limits on the molestation and grooming of children, and 40% of them say no, I think that's a problem. I mean, the folks here at the post-millennial, they call that wide support from both sides of the aisle. I would call that civilizational catastrophe. That 40% of the people don't understand that grooming or molesting or even any of this against children should be the most heinous, disgusting thing. It shouldn't even be uttered in public that this could even happen. And we have a poll. And 40% of the people, all right, that's, what else can I do? All right, you know what we're going to do? We're going to read Psalm 39. That's how. I told you, this. We need divine intervention. So I've been reading this psalm. I just want to, I've been reading this psalm. I read it every day for about a month, twice a day, in the morning and in the evening. And I still cannot quite fathom the depth of the enormous wisdom and gravity and relevance of this psalm to my life and your life right now. I don't yet understand. So I am going to study this psalm, and I'm going to put together a Bible study just on this psalm. Psalm 39, which, by the way, as far as we know, was written by King David. I said, I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are before me. I was mute with silence. I held my peace even from good. And my sorrow was stirred up. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. And then I spoke with my tongue, Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly every man at his best state is but vapor. Surely every man walks about like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. And now, O Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the reproach of the foolish. I was mute. I did not open my mouth, because it was you who did it. Remove your plague from me. I am consumed by the blow of your hand. When with rebukes you correct man, for iniquity you make his beauty melt away like a moth. Surely every man is vapor. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Do not be silent at my tears, for I am a stranger with you, a sojourner, as all my fathers were. Remove your gaze from me, that I may regain strength before I go away and am no more. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. Thank you very much for sticking with us, ladies and gentlemen. and I'm going to go from there to the religion file, just straight up religion. Just straight up religion from LifeSite News. Milo Yiannopoulos. You may remember Milo Yiannopoulos. He was a homosexual, number one. That's how I always remembered him first. He was a homosexual who decided that we had to draw the line at certain levels of insanity and so was entertained by some people as a conservative starting a few years ago. He was a gay conservative. In fact, I think he was the first billboard gay conservative, I think.
What's a gay conservative?
Well, that's a whole nother topic. Don't get me started on that. But he was, a gay conservative is someone who says, look, we have to draw the line at fourth grade. I mean, you know, I have to have some limits.
You cannot put that word together.
Anyway, but that's what that's what the mainstream media called Milo Yiannopoulos. And he made other people so crazy, other leftists so crazy, that they would lock themselves in their dorm rooms at colleges and if he was coming to speak. And he eventually got banned from speaking at leftist colleges because he wasn't willing to toe the line on certain levels of madness. And so that makes him a conservative, apparently. Anyway, Milo just now spoke at the Bringing America Back to Life convention. He spoke last Friday. He renounced homosexuality in public. He renounced homosexuality and said he was returning to the Catholic Church in 2021. Did Milo Yiannopoulos. I know a lot of people say Milo, but I don't think it's Milo, although I don't know. I know we have a goat named Milo, so I have a hard time calling him Milo. So he says, I'm renouncing homosexuality and returning to the church. And so he was slated to speak at this convention, the Bringing America Back to Life convention in Ohio. And his flight was delayed. So he had to ride to the convention in the back of a police car in order to get there on time. So he had no notes because he left all of his luggage. And so he had to give an impromptu account of his renunciation of homosexuality live on stage in front of everybody. And so he specifically raised his struggles with what he calls anhedonia. Anhedonia, which is defined as the inability to feel pleasure. And he implied in his speech that this anhedonia he's suffering, this inability to feel pleasure that he's suffering with, is as difficult to deal with as celibacy. He says, I was condemned as a homosexual to loneliness, addictions, the endless pursuit of dopamine and pleasure. And because of that, he said, I have permanently fried the reward circuits in my brain. Once you fry those circuits, they don't come back without decades of recalibration. So Milo Yiannopoulos basically overloaded and fried his ability to experience pleasure so that now he is physically and psychologically incapable of experiencing any kind of satisfactory pleasure. And this is something that I've warned some of the people I work with in my professional career. I've warned them about this. If you keep overloading your pleasure mechanisms, eventually you're going to fry them and you're going to blow them out. And in some cases, I'm afraid that you're going to kill yourself or someone else. And I'm actually concerned about that with people I actually know in my life, that they will kill themselves or someone else if they were ever to not be able to access THC. I actually worry about that. So forget about the worldwide shortage of computer chips. If they ever turn off the marijuana, there's going to be a massive episode of murder-suicide. And you think I'm joking about that. I'm not joking about that. Anyway, let's go back to Mr. Yiannopoulos. He now that he's renounced homosexuality, that's awesome, by the way. Very, very difficult to change something so significant in one's life. It's like a heroin addict getting off. It's like an alcoholic reforming. It's that big, right? It's a big life change. Very, and a positive one. He says he now has a new twofold mission. Number one, he's going to help other gay men to out of the homosexual lifestyle. And number two, he's going to protect the lives of the unborn. Oh. Yeah. Now, it's interesting how one of the things people realize immediately when they become Christians is that killing babies is wrong. That's one of the first things that gets people's attention, which is really odd, isn't it? Because even people who don't believe in God would tell you that, as far as they know, they're against killing babies. They're certainly not for torturing babies. They're against stomping on kittens. They're against setting puppies on fire. And they're against, they wouldn't want to kill any babies. Oh, abortion. Oh, that's right, abortion. Forgot about that one. Once someone repents and turns from a life of justifying their own sin and their own appetites, it's like scales fall off their eyes. So one of the first things Milo Yiannopoulos realized was that killing babies is wrong, and that's what abortion is. He'd been denying it for most of his life. He'd been denying that was killing babies. Well, once he became a Christian, it became obvious. Anyway, Milo says, without Christ, I am fairly certain that I would be dead. So interestingly, while he was America's favorite gay conservative, he was actively killing himself with drugs and hedonistic behavior. But did Sean Hannity care? No. Put him on the show. He's a gay. Oh, you're gay. We want you on because you're gay. Please stay gay and come on the show. Did anybody warn Mr. Yiannopoulos about the fact that he was killing himself and destroying his soul for all of eternity? Hey, it's a ratings bump. We got a gay. He's a gay conservative. He's against that. Let's get him on the show. Get him on the show. I can't remember. I think I did a story about how Yiannopoulos came to repentance, and it was not through a conservative talk show host, I don't think. Although I'll have to look, because if it was, I'll have to give them congratulations that someone decided to draw the line. Oh, by the way, my advice to Mr. Yiannopoulos: don't try to help other gay men out of the homosexual lifestyle. Don't do that. That's like the reformed alcoholic, the drunk who returns to the bar to save all of his drinking buddies, and then he wakes up at 4 o'clock in the morning covered with his own vomit in the parking lot. Just don't do it, okay? Stick to the unborn. Or how about this? Just talk to people who aren't believers. Just go to the unsaved. Just worry about those at first. Try that. Anyway, I was very disappointed that LifeSite News reported this as he returned to the Catholic Church, as if that somehow equates to, I mean, wouldn't you want to say that he became a Christian rather than returned? I don't know. Maybe I'm putting.
So in other words, he was Catholic.
Well, like most people who are psychologically and spiritually damaged, he was a part of the Catholic Church. Like so many people, the Catholic Church has done such enormous damage. Why would he go back to the Catholic Church? I don't know. Anyway, we'll look into that. Maybe, possibly, we may get back to that. I don't know. Anyway, we're glad that he's no longer killing himself with drugs and alcohol and hedonistic lifestyle. That's very positive. And maybe I think it'd be wise for him just to focus on that and his own circle for quite some time before he decides to go out and save the world. I mean, he's barely figured out how to stop killing himself. So saving the world should be way down on your list until you get a lot of things in order, Mr. Yiannopoulos. Now, from the big dumb religious file, we go to Dr. Rob Jeffress. You remember Jeffress, the number one rah-rah Donald Trump. Donald Trump is God's man. Donald Trump has been ordained by God, handpicked by God, installed into the presidency by God to save America. Robert Jeffress said that or words to that effect at least 150,000 times during the Trump campaign and the Trump administration. And he has some advice for us about what to do about Russia as Christians. First of all, he says, remember, Vladimir Putin's evil is no match for God's sovereignty. God will get rid of Vladimir Putin. This is a quote from Dr. Robert Jeffress. God will get rid of him when he's ready to get rid of him, unquote. Says pretty deep. I'm sure God really appreciates Mr. Jeffords attributing that level of depth to the eternal creator God. I'll get rid of him when I'm ready to get rid of him. Thank you, Mr. Jeffress. I'm sure he appreciates that. Secondly, Mr. Jeffress says, after his advice on Russia and regarding God's opinion about Vladimir Putin, particularly on when he'll exit the scene, he says, secondly, realize that although the end may be near, that doesn't mean the end is necessarily here.
Wow.
That's almost as deep as he'll get rid of him when he gets rid of him. Now, the end may be near, but it's not necessarily here. Can you people follow me on all this? I know it's because I'm a religious man, steeped in the knowledge of religion. That's why I'm so deep. Anyway, this guy's entire career, he's built a 50-year career on talking about how near the end is. You know what the end is near for? It's near for you, Mr. Jeffress, and that's because you're like 75 years old. Has nothing to do with the book of Revelation or anything else. You're just really, really old. That's why the end is near. Anyway, Jeffress says we need to pray against Vladimir Putin. Uh-huh. He says Putin needs to be gotten rid of.
Wait a minute.
Mr. Jeffress, are you challenging God's sovereign decision not to get rid of him? Is that what you're doing? Mr. Jeffress, wait a minute. I don't think it's that. Is it possible, Mr. Jeffress, that you're just a theological lightweight? Is that right? Your highest responsibility in the church should have been maybe dusting the pipe organ. Maybe you could have rose to that. Maybe scraping the wax off from around the candles. That's about as high as Robert Jeffress should have ever reached in church leadership. But let's leave that aside because, hey, if Donald Trump's going to get reelected, this is going to be one of the guys that we're relying on. So how are we going to save America without... Okay, now from the widespread inferiority complex file, I had a hard time... This is a new file, obviously. Yes, and sometimes I write in shorthand that later on I don't understand. This is from the widespread inferiority complex. See, there's too many words. See, a file should definitely not have that many syllables, if not words. But a sign outside St. Mary's Church in Omaha, Nebraska made it into the news last week. Why? Well, the sign said this, quote, "Heaven has strict immigration laws. Hell has open borders." Which is, I mean, that's witty. I mean, if you're in charge of the weekly marquee at the church, I mean, that's a lot of pressure to come up with something witty every week without ripping other people off. I don't think it's possible. So they come up with this, and this seems like an original. Actually, it's not. I'm sure it's not. I'll bet you if you Google this, you'd find that this appeared on some marquee at either a Catholic or a Protestant church 25 years ago. But anyway, they come up with this. It's pretty good. Well, the sign has sparked a furor, which means people are furious. Now, it's a witty, kind of funny, kind of make you chuckle type. But I get it, right? Heaven and... Right, and hell, it kind of, you're right, it's witty, make you chuckle. But it's made people furious. Why has it made people furious? Because people have a widespread inferiority complex. If you lack a certain level of confidence in your own self, then everything freaks you out and makes you mad. And so, and people on the left have absolutely no confidence in anything anymore. That's been stripped from them. And people on the right, or who want to be on the right, who think they're on the right, well, I mean, I listen to Sean Hannity. People like that, they lack an enormous amount of confidence as well. So they get mad about things that they should just chuckle at. But everybody's mad about it. Numerous complaints came in from people like Gary, the founder of the South Omaha Mural Project, which honors immigrants. What does Gary say? There's no place for this. It just didn't feel right. I mean, it kind of threw me off because, like, it's a church. Aren't they supposed to just shut up, you know? Except for just, like, loving everybody. Gosh. That was Gary over at the South Omaha Mural Project. Left-wing mural project. Others were even harsher in their rebuke. Listen to Jose, a local historian, whatever that means. To put that on a Catholic church in the middle of an immigration capital of the Midwest is not only a slap in the face, it's a wound to civility. That's Jose, a local historian in Omaha. Complaints also poured in from every angle, from all corners. And finally, the church removed the sign. The archdiocese released a statement, because that's what they do. They released a statement saying that a volunteer made an error in posting the sign, and it's been subsequently removed. And then the church officials apologized. Well, why did they apologize? They just said a volunteer did it. So they blamed it on someone else, and then they apologized to it, meaning that they were lying. But that's beside the point. They released a statement saying, St. Mary's apologizes to anyone who was hurt. We have a fantastic relationship with our Hispanic brothers and sisters, who we don't mean to imply are illegal aliens. Oops! Although we just did. This was one person's mistake, and it will not weaken our valued relationship with our Hispanic brothers and sisters who we just implied are illegal aliens. Thank you very much. We'll take the sign down now. That's it, folks. That's the Weekly Worldview. I mean, that's it. That's it. I want to thank my friends at American Right to Life and at Real Science Radio. Tune in for sure next week, because I'll be on next Friday. So tune in. And my other brother, Darryl, who makes it all happen here in the Weekly Worldview studio, should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.